この街を生きていく術なんだ。
Hello everyone, welcome back to Captain Earth. I'm Metanorn. It's episode 15 called True Self, and I'm here with J-Ro.
What's up?
And Skyline.
Hello.
Yep, this is another Hana episode. We didn't get enough of her last week. She's doing more this week, and surprisingly starting to come into herself here. This kind of finally being revealed as what her true role will be in this series. And, you know, it's good stuff, but and a lot of people don't like her anyway. I'm still 50-50 on her right now at this episode. I'm leaning more towards liking her because this episode did a lot for her character, but yeah, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm starting to like her more. It's good to see her character now getting the bit of action and story and stuff that we kind of saw a little bit of with Tepe a couple episodes ago.
Right, yeah, it's nice to see that they're finally giving these characters something. And to jump off from last week, we had that, you know, the massive laser beam destroying the satellite, and I guess everywhere around the world they were writing it off as a meteor attack. Mm-hmm. They don't know what it really was, so kind of government kind of covering it up. I guess, I mean, these companies don't really know what's going on, so that's typical of these type of shows, I guess. You know, they can't tell everyone exactly what it was.
Because they don't know themselves.
Right, and then Hana is kind of like, you know, she ran away at the end, so I guess she ran away and bumped into Setsuna somehow. I guess Pitts found the other squirrel, and these two kind of hang out for a bit, but they're not really, you know, being happy together. They're being chased by Amarok and Mooka, who want, I guess, both of them. So it means, like, two birds, one stone, if they want. Mm-hmm. Want to get that, so.
And while that's going on, there's a scene of Daichi, Tepe, and Akari sitting back at the house, kind of like, like, not depressed is the word, but kind of concerned. Mm-hmm. About, like, you know, where's Hana at? Kind of that moment where everybody's sort of staring into the distance and they got that look, like.
Right.
They had those long faces for, like, yeah, two scenes straight, and it got a bit old. So hopefully it was good that they actually cut it short.
Yeah, acting, like, super mature about the situation.
Yeah.
I almost thought, like an Eva moment, like, oh no, Shinji's missing. We must find him. Like, he's the key to all this. Like, some kind of, yeah. If you don't find him,
really?
In time, the world's doomed.
They looked like they reacted, or their reactions looked like they were, like, you know, what? I'm grounded? Man.
Yeah, I can't do anything. And when, you know, with Setsuna and Hana, they kind of interact and talk to each other, and they kind of revealed both of them kind of have similar stories of they're afraid of getting close to anyone, a fear of being used, or fear of something else happening. So these two kind of, I guess, don't hit it off as well, but they just kind of, you know, need each other at a certain time. Mm-hmm. And they're both very, very weak against Amarok and Mooka. They don't really have any fighting abilities, so yeah, against Amarok, they're kind of screwed.
And maybe the last time we'll ever see them like that.
Right, yeah.
And the events that happen later in the episode, so kind of a good to see them interact while they were still kind of, I don't know what
normal, I guess.
Normal or not
their
themselves.
Other selves. Yeah. Right, yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. And, you know, we get all that, and, you know, Amarok Mocha's on their quest to find these two. And meantime, Kyubey kind of sticks his nose in way too deep and figures out basically the entire, I guess not entire plot, but he figures out the planetary gears, what they've been up to. I guess every video of them fighting, which I'm like, how did they get this video? All these tests and stuff, I don't know. But yeah, he investigates a little too deep, and he actually goes to Puck and confronts him about it. And Puck, you know, shows his true colors and reveals he's not the AI that Kyubey was so used to having around.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think of that scene? I thought it was like the highlight of the episode for me, or one of them anyway.
Well, he kept on playing with that darn self-destruct mechanism so much, you knew it was going to be useless. When he pulled that out, and I was like, yeah, come on, just keep on clicking it. Okay, the 20th time will most definitely work, I'm absolutely certain. Go right ahead. And, you know, it's good to see that moment finally come to fruition. We always suspected that you're not the facilitator at all. You are the puppet master.
You guys think that, maybe this is a crazy theory, but that Puck could be his dad that we saw, the story of and killed himself, that he preserved his memories or something like that in Puck so that Kyubey's dad is Puck?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they do that, where it's like the moment where something's going to happen with Puck, and you know his dad kicks in like some override command and like takes over his body, and it's like, you know, it helps the other characters out. But yeah, I could see that. It would be interesting.
It's within the realm of possibility, I think.
Right.
It's an interesting idea too.
Yeah, I mean they're playing around with the whole like downloading soul thing with the device they had in the room, because you know Puck knocks him out and then takes over his body, and it was like it didn't take very long for it to happen. He just jumped right in the body and was bam, it was done. Mm-hmm. So it's like, now you got to figure out what's QA's motivation for doing what he's doing now. Is he going to take over the company? I mean, it's like, why would someone, an alien, want a company that's just kind of, like, maybe, I don't know why they want it.
Mm-hmm. That's probably one piece in the puzzle that he needs to complete the larger picture.
Right, and the moment I like was Puck when he was out of the machine, you know, the secretary walks in, he just goes for it, kisses her, and, like, you know, something went down afterwards, obviously, but mm-hmm. it was pretty funny.
He kind of had to do that because, you know, it satisfied that, you know, that triple scene where everyone got kissed at once.
Right, he did, yeah, I remember
that. He's probably looking down at his watch, it's okay, is Hana and Daichi in place? Yeah.
3-2, okay.
okay, what about the prince, what about that, are we still going to roll with that creepy scene of the guy kissing the little girl? We are?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
that way we go to the next level.
Yeah, that was one. Yeah, then Puck's like, I'm going one step farther.
You know, going back to what you said on that, if you know, if, and it's an AI, an artificial intelligence, if it has a personality, you know, those personalities are down to, you know, ones and zeros. So I guess you probably can reprogram it with the memories and whatever personality you need to see fit for it.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like some keyword. That Puck says it will, you know, override him, and the other guy will take back over. I wouldn't be surprised. Because with Kyubey, he's not really a dumb character. I mean, he's not the brightest either, so, I mean, he's probably got something in place, but we'll see. And like you said, they do awaken Setsuna, and I'm guessing Setsuna's the true leader of the Planetary Gears. I mean, they show her in the opening, like she's like the head unit, whatever you want to call her.
She got like a top hat on or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, all great organizations needs a lowly to lead them.
True. And with that, we have, you know, Mocha and Amarok attack Hana once again because she escapes. And, you know, Daichi and Tepe getting their units, their Earth units, and it's like a big old mech fight. But what happens afterwards is kind of crazy. Hana actually is the one that stops the whole fight after she's being kept. You know, they grab her and they're going to take her away. And I don't know what happened to her, but yeah.
And at the start, it was just Daichi and Tepe with their live blasters versus the Goodfellas, and their aim, they were just kind of shooting and missing.
Terrible shots.
Goodfellas were very fast, and then we see with Hana's live blaster that she can sort of control the angle of the beam.
Right, yeah, she can control the beam around. So
it can't be a mech show without Macross-style beams like that, you know? They gotta twist around and find their target.
Of course, yeah. And then, you know, her power overwhelms the other two, and Mocha and Amarok they can't fight her, and they run away. So, you know, Hana gets her live luster, and now she's just like Tepe. I guess she's human with a live luster, so now you have three of them.
Well, it is interesting in the fact that, you know, they show that with Amarok and Mocha, you know, kissing their subject wakes them up. So how much does that have to do with the kiss between Daichi and Hana?
Right, yeah, it's something to do with them, that they're doing some kind of memory swap. Like, she knows something about him, and I guess he knows something about her. I think that's what they're going to end up saying. But I did notice that her weapon was bigger than the other guys.
that's one of the first things I said, I think, in a Skype comment when I was watching it. I said, Hana's life blaster is bigger than the guys.
Bigger than the boys, exactly. So it's like, she's got more power. Oh, there we go. And, yeah, I don't know how it was formed, but it's cool. I mean, with Tepe, we saw he had to protect Daichi, and he did, and he got his life blaster. So with Hana, I guess you can spin it anyway, the power of love, you know, power of friendship, whatever you want to say with that, so. What did you guys think of her getting her big power-up moment, finally?
It was good. It was to be expected, considering what was going on in that battle with them, like, oh, they have to defend themselves and they can't attack. Who's going to stop him. Certainly not Akari, just standing there. So it's good to see Hana sort of, I guess in a way, realize what her powers are. And it'll be interesting to see her use them and maybe even pilot an Earth engine or whatever in the future.
Right, because I forgot to mention that. They did hurt Pitts. He kind of got hurt, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what's the future of that. If that's just a way to tell the audience, okay, well, Pitts is going to be out of the picture for a while, so Hana is going to finally get this power and she can become useful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if yeah, go ahead.
Do you think they'll give her the same power that Pitts possessed? Or do you think they'll give her something different and have that kind of Orgone energy detector kind of down and out for a bit, which means they're going to have to be more proactive? They were sitting around and waiting for things to happen. Now they got to go out and do.
Yeah, I'm hoping they kind of ditch the whole Orgone detector for a while to give Hana, you know, at least make her... We gave her this power, so let's make her use it. Not just, the squirrel's back, so we don't really need her. It's like, that would be kind of pointless for me. But yeah, I hope they do get rid of it for a bit, because it does seem kind of super convenient that Pitts can detect it. It's like, come on, really?
Mm-hmm. And how will Akari finally get a live blaster in mech? Will Hana kiss her?
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm wondering, like, I feel kind of bad for Akari. It's like, she's really going to be left in the cold here soon when the mech fights start going down. I mean, I know she can remote control from, like, far off, but it's like, what is her role going to be if Hana is, like, overshines her?
Yeah, she's a magical girl.
That was about ready to say just that.
Yeah, she's got something. So for some extra stuff, you know, Puck, his scene was great. I like that. I think his laugh when he's just taking over Kibe's body was, like, probably one of the best anime laughs I've heard in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, me and Jared watch a lot of One Piece, so, you know, that show's iconic for laughs in that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty good here.
Yeah, but Puck is like, oh man, that's creepy and it's funny. I don't know, it's a good mix of a lot of things. And then the other thing would be Hana. Holy crap, just how much power she's got. It's a little outrageous, but it's good. I'm glad she's doing something.
Yeah, I guess power-wise, we could ask, is she above Daichi and Tepe already?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say probably yes, because, I mean, she did the display when she used the bloom. She can take out stuff in space easily, so it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's technically her name, too.
Right,
Blume.
Bloom.
That's true. And the last thing I mentioned is Hana acting more human. You know, she was being more expressions, I guess, have more expressions this week. Especially when she saw Mocha and Amarok coming towards her, she kind of freaked out and panicked. Which is something we didn't really see in her in the beginning. I mean, when she got kidnapped the first time, it was like, she was like, oh no, I'm kidnapped. Mm-hmm. But this time, you know, we actually saw her freaking out and kind of paranoid, panicking. Mm-hmm. Even when Pitts got hurt, she was kind of sad and, you know, about that too. So.
Maybe this episode will be a turning point with her, with what we saw her talking with Setsuna about trusting Daichi, but still kind of running away. And then that scene with Daichi where maybe they've come to reach an understanding about each other at this point.
Right, yeah, the kiss they shared part was that part where she finally realized that he's not all bad like I thought he was. You know, mm-hmm. If I stay with him, you know, I'll be near him at least. So, in a way, I guess she might want to protect him too at the same time. So, overall, episode was pretty good. I like this one. What do you guys, any last thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, I feel the same. It was an eventful episode, but yet it wasn't as bombastic or loud with the music or anything like that, but there's a lot of scenes that we talk about here with the, you know, Setsuna is recovered by Amarok and now they're bowing before her, and now Hana's kissed Daichi and now she's using her powers in a live laster. So there's a lot of good stuff going on and a very eventful episode.
Yeah, it's like the pieces are set, now we just gotta see them actually mm-hmm. use what they've gotten here. This episode should be, like you said, the turning point. And like I said, I'll go back to the opening, that they do show all the planetary gears getting the robot, so I'm assuming eventually, I think Setsuna's gonna unlock all of them, and they're just gonna get them naturally. So, maybe we see, and I did notice the preview, you know, it did show Hana possibly in a robot, we're seeing, mm-hmm. I mean, they have a new one in the opening, the red unit, so I'm assuming that's hers.
You can go with that.
Yeah. So, I guess see you guys next week for 16. See you guys later.
Later, later.
Adios.
には吸い込まれるような青さが広がる。